Episode 27.
Hello and welcome to the Megan Dredge podcast. Megan Dredge, yes, that's me, and I am super passionate about helping you to become an even better educator. I believe in teachers and I believe in education, the best profession in the world, the profession that teaches all others. It doesn't matter whether you've been teaching for decades or if you're a brand new teacher, there's always something we can all do to improve our practice.
So you're a new leader in your school. Today we're going to be talking about some must-dos for new school leaders. And taking on a new leadership role is something that's admirable. And I really admire all of you who are listening, who have recently taken on a leadership role, or perhaps you're aspiring to, or you're going to be taking on a new leadership role. Good job to you. I am so excited for you that you've made a decision to position yourself in a place where you can have even more influence in the lives of students and in the lives of the people that you're leading. And I know that many teachers do aspire to a leadership role, and they're looking forward to this new season of beginnings. And I have found, certainly in my own leadership experience, that learning to juggle my new role and my new responsibilities can be super exciting and super rewarding. And it can also sometimes be challenging and overwhelming. And sometimes you can feel stuck and overwhelmed. And in fact, right up front, I'll include a link in the show notes to what to do when you're overwhelmed, how to actually overcome overwhelm or avoid overwhelm. But what we're going to talk about today are 8 strategies to help you be a great leader in your school. So let's get right into it. Number one, clarify what's expected of you. Right up front, you need to know exactly what's expected of you in your leadership role. And the best way for you to get clarity around this is to ask lots of questions. Ask lots of questions. Don't be annoying and ask questions. Ask genuine questions. And when the questions are answered, reflect back to the person and say, so what you're saying is, or you can reflect back to them and say, so let me see if I understand you correctly, and reflect to them and basically reword what they've said back to them. And that gives them an opportunity to go, yes, actually, that's right. Or no, that's not quite right. Or yes, that's right. And let me add this. And that way you're getting more insight into what's expected of you. So knowing what's expected of you, knowing what your goals are and what you're aiming to achieve is a really important way to get your leadership journey off to a good start. So clarify what's expected of you. Number two, get to know your team. You know, there's a saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think it's absolutely true. As a new leader with a new team, the people that you're leading need to know that you genuinely care about them, that you are genuinely interested in them, that you want to contribute to their success. And this is the amazing privilege that we have as leaders, is that we get to influence the success of somebody else. We get to do their success journey with them, because it is a journey. It's not a destination. It is a journey. We get to do that journey with them. And they need to know that you're serious about them as an individual in the context of achieving the overall goals and aims of the school or the subject area or the stage that you're teaching. But it's still all about people. And you can get to know them very quickly. And one of the best ways you can do that is just simply observe, to actually notice what's going on for them and what's going on in their world and how they express things and the things that they're passionate passionate about, and notice in conversation when their voice gets quicker and more engaged and more energetic, and when their body language is more engaged, because all of these things are telling you about that person. It's telling you, these things are telling you what's going on for them. So get to know your team and always be looking for opportunities to learn something new about your team members, looking for ways to get to know them at a deeper level, to get to know what they're passionate about in education and teaching, and get to know the things that they struggle with. All of these things will help you lead them more effectively. So number two, get to know your team. Number three, encourage team members' strengths. This will happen as you get to know your team. As you build relationships with them and figure out what's going on for them, you will soon discover their strengths. And as their leader, you need to give maximum encouragement of their strengths. There will come a time when you'll have to have a difficult conversation. You'll have to talk to them about certain things, but most of your effort needs to be in encouraging them, their strengths, and helping them do what they do better, and positioning them so that they can use their strengths. I remember with a team of people I was leading, we would have a staff meeting each week, and for several weeks in this new team, I had asked someone to set up the tea and coffee. And so this person kind of, they did it. They weren't reluctant, but they just did it. They weren't really engaged. And she would get the things out, the tea and the coffee, and there were some cups there, and it just, you know, kind of went through the motions, and it was all fine, and we still got to have our coffee. Well, a few weeks into leading this team, I discovered that one of the girls on my staff was really passionate about entertaining. And I just had this random thought. I can't say that I determined to be a leader in this area, but I just had this thought of, wow, if she's really passionate about entertaining, and she has people in her home, and she loves doing afternoon teas with them. And I just made this connection, or maybe I should ask her to do the tea and coffee. And it wasn't because the other girl did a bad job. It was just this thought of, well, if she's passionate about that, maybe I should get her to do that. So I just said to her, hey, next week, how would you feel about setting up the tea and coffee, just coming in 10 minutes before our meeting's due to staff and before the staff arrive, and just setting up the coffee for us? And she goes, yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. Well, we got to the staff meeting the next week, and she had put candles in the middle of the staff room table. She had bought in her beautiful Royal Albert with the gold trim cups and saucers. She had a pot of tea already brewed on the table. She had the coffee plunged, ready to go. She had the little sugar bowl and the little creamer bowl and everything there all ready to go. And she had a tray of biscuits laid out, ready for our staff meeting. And as I mentioned, the candles were burning gently on the table. And we walked into this staff meeting, and I could not believe what had happened. And for her, she was engaged with something that she was passionate about. It didn't take all that much effort, and positioning her in an area of strength made it a win for everybody. Not to mention that the girl that had done it the previous few weeks said, oh, I'm so glad you're doing that. I just never really know how to set up tea and coffee. It's not my thing. And she was willing to do it. The previous girl was willing to do it, but it just wasn't her thing. And that's a simple example of the power of positioning someone in the area of their strength and encouraging them in that area. And you can do the same thing, whether it's who sets up the tea or coffee, or whether it's who organizes that particular part of the curriculum. Your responsibility as the leader is to encourage the team members in their strengths and position them accordingly. Number four, be a good follower. A great school leader needs to be a good follower. We often talk about being a great leader and doing all these great things and leading the way and setting a good example and all of that. But you know what? One of the best ways for you to set a good example is to teach your team how to follow. Because great leaders know how to follow. Great leaders know how to follow someone that's ahead of them and to do it well. and you have an opportunity as the leader to show your team what it takes and what it means to be a great follower. If you are constantly bagging out your boss, then your team will bag you out. By bag out, I mean talk about them behind their backs. If you are constantly talking about how bad things are in the leadership of the school, your team will be talking about how bad your leadership is, because that's what's being modeled to them. If you are not showing your team how to be a good follower, how to do what's required, how to do what you're told in the right sense of the word and come back and fulfill your responsibility. If you're not doing those things, then your team will not know how to do that for you. So be committed to the greater team and be a great example of someone who knows how to follow. And notice how your team will emulate your great followership. Number five, confront where appropriate. And I touched on this a few minutes ago when I mentioned there'll be times when you do have to have a difficult conversation. In fact, I've written a post, and I think I've actually got it as a podcast, how to have a difficult conversation, and I'll include a link in the show notes to that. There will be times when you have to have a difficult conversation with your team member. Now, here's the way my husband puts it. He says, if I let you off, I let you down. In other words, if you don't confront things that need confronting, not only will the team and the school be let down, that's obvious, but who will actually be let down the most is the person you didn't confront, because they won't know that that's an area that they need to fix, perhaps in their character or in their practice or in their teaching. They won't know, because as the leader, you are neglecting the responsibility that you have to confront where appropriate. Now, confrontation always needs to be done with these two things. It needs to be fair and it needs to be kind. I've worked with lots of different principals, and I've had lots of kinds of confrontations. I remember one principal in my early years of teaching. He was absolutely incredible, and he confronted me when he noticed something going on in my world, and he'd noticed that I'd lost a little bit of my passion. And he confronted me in kindness and with fairness. And I am so thankful he took that risk and did it, because it was a turning point in my teaching career. And truthfully, it's still a turning point now. Because he identified an area that I needed to grow in, I can now identify that area for myself. Because if he let me off, he would have let me down. Equally, I can remember another principal who lacked the leadership, I guess, that original principal did. And this other principal that I had, he actually confronted me in front of the whole primary school staff. And not only did he confront me in front of the whole primary school staff, we were actually at a function with parents, and he confronted me in front of all of the parents. And it was horrible. And I can't even remember to this day how I handled it, because it was so embarrassing and so humiliating that I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I actually just walked out of the room and got myself together. And I actually went back to that principal at a later stage, and I basically said, I didn't give them an ultimatum, but I said, hey, if you do that again, this is how I will respond. Because that principal did not have the leadership ability to confront me in an appropriate way. Had they taken the time to say, hey, Megan, I've noticed this is going on, can we talk about how we can solve it? I would have been all ears. I would have been able to receive what they were saying. But because they chose unwisely to do it in a public arena, and let me just say, what that did for that leader, it completely undermined their leadership. So if you lack the discipline to confront someone appropriately and you do it publicly or you do it in a staff meeting, you are undermining your own leadership, because everyone is sitting there saying, I can't believe they just did that. And you basically create this culture where they go, oh my gosh, watch out that you don't get busted in front of everyone, which is what happened in this particular situation I'm talking about. So as a leader, you do need to confront. And if you don't confront, you're letting the school off, you're letting the team off, and you're letting that person off, which is just not acceptable. But make sure you do it with kindness and with fairness, and make sure you do it personally with that person. As I've just shared, don't do it in front of everyone and hurt that person and completely undermine your own leadership. That is a very hard leadership place to recover from. So make sure you do your confrontation one-on-one or one to a small group if that's the appropriate structure, and do it with kindness and fairness. Okay, enough about that. Number six, say sorry. Yep. Admit your mistakes. Great leaders are humble. They exemplify humility. They can admit that they're wrong and say sorry. And again, if you are a leader who can't do this, then you need to fix it. You need to change, and you need to be able to admit that you are wrong. I have the greatest respect for the people that have led me, that have said to me, "Hey, Megan, I was actually totally wrong there. I'm sorry." I have utmost respect for them because they were humble enough to admit their mistake and learn from it. And you know what? When you admit a mistake to your team, you're showing them that mistakes are okay, because that's part of life. Making mistakes and learning from them. Number seven, seventh must do for a new school leader is to encourage ongoing professional development. I'm sure you've heard it said that leaders are learners, right? And it's absolutely true. A leader is always growing and always developing, and they encourage their team to do the same thing. And for me, I am 100% committed to this. I am passionate about this. That is why I've put together an online professional development program to help teachers grow and develop in bite-sized pieces. I'll include a link in the show notes to it. And the way that it's structured is you receive over the course of 20 weeks, you receive an email with a 10-minute video and some reflection questions that will help you grow and develop as a teacher. And I've developed my online PD around the areas of greatest need, the things that teachers are always asking about: how to remain passionate, how to deal with challenging situations, how to manage your classroom and classroom management strategies, all of these big ideas that we're constantly trying to improve in. That's what I've included in my online professional development, because I am committed to helping teachers grow professionally. And as a leader, I'm committed to doing that myself. So make sure you're growing professionally, and make sure you are encouraging your team members to do the same. Number eight, and finally, number eight, have an open door policy. As a leader, you need to be approachable. You need to make it really easy for your team to come and talk to you. Don't hide in your office. Don't sit behind your big desk and make them talk to you across 2 meters of desk. Be approachable. Make it easy for them to have a conversation with you. Keep your door open. When someone stands at your door, welcome them in. Invite them to sit down. Help them to feel at ease. And you do the hard work to make the conversation productive. You be the one, as their leader, to build rapport and make it easy for them to talk to you or to share their wins and share their successes. Have an open door policy, and this will help you to build this relationship with your team, to build it more quickly than if you're always closed, hiding away. And it's a must do if you want to be effective as a school leader. So this week, as a leader in your school, I encourage you to choose one of these eight strategies and focus on it with your interactions this week. Pick one of those things and say, this week, that's what I'm going to be focusing on with my team. And you'll notice how, as a leader, there's a new level of ease and a new level of rapport and relationship that you'll really enjoy in your leadership journey. Well, next week in the Megan Dredge podcast, we're going to be talking about three ways to be consistent. Three ways to be consistent. Have an absolutely brilliant week. Enjoy the journey. And more importantly, enjoy the moments. And I'll see you next time. Ciao, ciao.